From the Meridian Manufacturing Studio, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. While as the 114th Congress ends this month, the most pressing issue to tackle during the lame duck session for lawmakers is again passing a budget resolution. AFBF Public Policy Executive Director Dale Moore says the continuing resolution needs to be passed before the legislative clock runs out on December 9th.
Congress is going to act before then, otherwise the government shuts down, and we know that with the election and with the lame duck session and getting ready for the new Congress, the last thing they want is a government shutdown to be the last thing that occurs in this Congress. The key question is if there will be policy riders on that. Everything that we're hearing in Washington so far is that it's going to be clean. We're just not quite sure yet what that definition of clean is.
Another issue that has potential to be passed during the lame duck session, according to Moore, is the Water Resources Development Act, which could be tied to other water-related issues.
We're hoping that Congress will get a period, if not an exclamation point, on the importance of getting progress made, whether it's going after the locks and dams, cleaning up some of the riverbeds, improving the port facilities, things that are all very critical to agriculture's ability to trade.
Lastly, he says the lame duck Congress is setting the stage for the next Congress to begin in January.
Leadership in both the House and Senate seems very focused on moving something on regulatory reform, not just on the specific issues like waters of the U.S., but on the broader question of how the process works. How do we reel in some of this regulatory creep that has increasingly put more and more burdens on farmers and ranchers all across the country?
That's American Farm Bureau Federation Public Policy Executive Director Dale Moore. Well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, U.S. trade and other experts are concerned the Trump administration is raising the temperature with China, risking new economic or military conflicts with Beijing. And of course, we've heard that in the national news. We're going to talk about it here as well. Also, when we talk about agriculture news, we're going to talk about the market rallies lifting farmers' spirits. Farmers have been saying that they're on the positive side so far in November. We'll talk about that as we take a break. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, and Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1, also Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, U.S. trade and other experts are concerned the Trump administration is raising the temperature with China, risking new economic or military conflicts with Beijing. President-elect Donald Trump, even before assuming office, is changing conventional U.S. posture toward Beijing, firing back at China for criticizing Trump's recent phone call with Taiwan's president. China considers Taiwan part of China. Now, Trump tweets that Beijing never asked the U.S. before imposing higher tariffs on U.S. goods or manipulating its currency. So why should he notify Beijing about his phone calls? Well, Trump has already threatened punitive tariffs on Chinese goods, and Beijing threatens to halt U.S. soybean and corn imports. Now, none of this looks good to trade experts like former Ag Department trade advisor Paul Drazik.
In the olden days, we had export embargoes that farmers went ballistic over. Well, this is essentially the same thing. It's a self-inflicted inflicted wound. And our exports will dry up and prices go down. And what do? People get laid off.
Drazik says getting tough with China, a top U.S. buyer of soybeans, will guarantee retaliation, and U.S. agriculture will be the first sector to get hit. As for the argument China needs the U.S. market more than the other way around.
Well, they need to get in here. But if we're putting tariffs on their products, then they're not going to be able to get in here. So they're going to put tariffs on our products. And, you know, the thing is, what people don't understand is tariffs are paid by Americans. It's the importer that pays the tariff, and the American consumer absorbs it. So prices go up.
He says farm goods will pile up in a trade war and commodity prices will drop further at a time when U.S. agriculture is already suffering from chronically low prices and income. Well, if you want some good news in agriculture, a monthly measure of the agriculture economy shows post-harvest price rallies have lifted the spirits of farmers over the past month. The Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer, released yesterday, reached an index point of 116 for November, considerably higher than the October reading of 92. The barometer surveys 400 farmers monthly. A rating below 100 is negative, while a rating above 100 indicates positive sentiment regarding the agriculture industry. Organizers of the survey say the improved rating can be attributed to an improvement in farmers' perspective about the future, which was motivated in part by better corn and soybean prices. However, organizers also note the jump in producer sentiment was reflected by fewer respondents with a negative outlook rather than a notable shift toward a positive outlook on the ag economy. Well, a bin-busting harvest is doing just that. According to a new report by CoBank, the cooperative bank says this year's yields have created a storage capacity crunch at U.S. elevators and are contributing to a brighter economic outlook for elevator operators. Record yields of corn, soybeans, and grain sorghum are competing for storage space with large wheat inventories harvested earlier this year. Now, at the same time, futures markets are also encouraging farmers to store crops well into next year. CoBank says that means the value of grain storage space is on the rise, and storage shortages have been widely reported across the Western Corn Belt and Central and Southern Plains region. The report notes that storage tightness could persist through 2017, given the U.S. Ag Department predicting the highest wheat and corn ending stocks total since the 87-88 marketing year. Should say 1987 and 1988. Anyway, we all remember then. We'll be back with more of what's going on inside agriculture right after this. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. While Iowa farmers are working to improve soil health and water quality, Michael Clements has more in this report.
Farmers in Iowa are taking on the monumental task of reducing the loss of nitrogen and phosphorus to the environment, improving soil health, and limiting the impact of agricultural production on watersheds along the Mississippi River. Jim Jordahl, Director of Programs and Operations for the Iowa Agriculture Water Alliance, or IAWA, explains.
Water quality has been a topic of conversation and planning for several years now as states in the Mississippi River Basin work toward their goal of decreasing nutrient runoff by 45%. There are five key methods that farmers can implement right now to help decrease their nutrient losses and thereby limit runoff into waterways. Planting cover crops, using no-till and strip-till practices, installing bioreactors, saturated buffers, using efficient nutrient management practices, and reestablishing wetlands in critical areas.
Jordahl adds that the state's first edge-of-field bioreactor was installed just 10 years ago. There are 75 currently installed, but approximately 120,000 are needed throughout the state. Many advancements have also been made in cover crop applications and tillage practices.
It takes a few years to see the soil health and water quality benefits of no-till and strip-till practices, but growers utilizing them saw an average phosphorus loss reduction of some 90% in surface runoff. And when it comes to planting cover crops, many farmers have taken on the practice. 6 years ago, there were only about 10,000 acres of cover crops in Iowa. Today, we have an estimated 500,000 acres.
The Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship has been helping farmers by demonstrating these practices in selected watersheds to raise awareness. But moving to the next stages of implementation across all of Iowa will not be easy, Jordahl says.
We've got to begin to establish the infrastructure that this undertaking will require at full scale. We're talking about lots of seed, trucks, and airplanes to deliver the supplies necessary and the expertise needed to get the greatest benefit for each dollar spent. It will take an investment, an estimated $1 billion to $4 billion in implementation costs and $77 million to over $1 billion in annualized costs statewide to maintain this initiative.
With lower commodity prices top of mind, it can be tough to get buy-in on projects that sound like they might be an upfront expense to the farmer. So IAWA is focusing on educational and outreach efforts.
We're working with partners to demonstrate how these practices can improve soil health, help farmers increase yield, and help with resistance to flooding and drought. We're putting our efforts on events that will bring people together to learn from each other and take part in these discussions.
Iowa farmers, commodity groups, and researchers have their work cut out for them when it comes to reducing nutrient runoff from agricultural land. While the goals seem lofty, they can be achieved.
By bringing farmers together with each other and with industry leaders, we can spread the word about how these practices can benefit the agricultural industry as a whole while protecting our waterways and the people and wildlife that depend on them for years to come.
To learn more about best farming practices that can help to improve water quality in Iowa and throughout the Midwest, visit Verdesian Life Sciences online at groundwork.ag. To learn more about the Iowa Ag Water Alliance, visit iowaagwateralliance.com. Michael Clements reporting.
And we'll be back with more of what's going on inside agriculture right after these words. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, we're going to wrap up what's going on inside agriculture, and why not do it talking pork? Well, changes are coming for the American livestock industry on January 1st of 2017 when the Veterinary Feed Directive rule goes into effect. But the pork industry is ready. Producers will need a veterinarian to oversee administering antibiotics to their animals through feed or water. Dan Kovich, Deputy Director of Science and Technology for the National Pork Producers Council, says the pork industry has been preparing for the change for some time.
Absolutely. I'm actually really proud of where we are as an industry. The National Pork Producers Council, working with the National Pork Board, the American Association of Swine Veterinarians, have really gotten the word out, a lot of educational tools, worked with other industries, the FDA, to answer some of the implementation questions, and really kind of make sure that we're all on the same page about what to expect, what we need to do going forward on January 1. Pork is ready. We're prepared.
Now, it'll take some work by veterinarians and producers to get the new VFDs in place. But overall, Kovich expects a seamless transition in the pork industry next year.
What we have been doing all along, I mean, these relationships have existed. Pork producers have always worked with their veterinarians in tandem to make decisions about antibiotic use, to make sure that they're being used responsibly, that they remain effective. So that's nothing new. That's all been there. So putting this on paper, being able to document to a broader world how seriously we take antibiotic usage, how responsible we are, that we really do strive to be good stewards, is not going to be an issue for us. Because, again, we've been doing that all along.
Now, he says the new VFD give consumers assurance that producers and veterinarians are working together to help control antibiotic resistance.
Producers and veterinarians are really key partners in protecting animal health, animal welfare, food safety. You know, that relationship has always been there, has always been strong. So the adding the VFD is, again, going to allow us to increase our transparency, letting our customers know that we take this seriously, we're complying, and we'll continue to look at and work on these issues as we move forward.
Dan Kovich of the National Pork Producers Council. Well, when we're looking at what's going on in Washington, the U.S. Senate Majority Leader intends to take up the Water Resources Development Act conference report during the lame duck session. Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell proclaimed in a floor speech yesterday his intention to consider that conference report. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.